Thanks for joining me on today's Family Experience, helping your family connect in a world that's pulling families apart. My name is Chuck Hagley. I'm the executive director here at Project Patch, and I'm glad to have you back for another episode of today's Family Experience. You know, it's been a really busy fall here at Project Patch. Had a lot of really fun things going on. I've had the fun of teaching some alumni families out at the Family Experience out in Goldendale, some amazing connections there. We've had a bunch of our coaches working with families, not families that have been going through our youth ranch, but just typical families, families that are recognizing that this world is pulling them, stretching them, really making it hard to be a family. And so they've taken the time to spend a weekend with us out in Goldendale and seen some amazing results. If you ever get the chance to go there, I really highly recommend it. You'll see as you walk through that there's testimonies of families that they've put together these rocks, these memorials of what God's done for them and these promises that they make of how they're going to interact as they leave that place. And so really exciting to see what families are doing there. Other than that, we've keeping going with a lot of great things at our youth ranch, amazing kids there, seeing God really do some amazing transforming things there, amazing staff. Love to go there and just sit around and watch God work. And so it's been a busy fall. You know, it's one of those things that I don't think will ever slow down in this work of helping kids, helping families, and really empowering churches. And so, hey, thanks for taking a few minutes to spend with me and focus on what it really means to be a family, what it means to be a parent in this world in which it's not easy to be a parent. The reality is that there's a lot of things working against us as parents. I'm not talking about the government, the school system, none of those things. What I'm talking about is that our brains, our hearts, our expectations, so many things make it hard and kind of get us out of our game. And so today I want to talk about one of the important things that I've struggled with over the years. One of the things that keeps me from being as effective as a parent as I want to be. And that really has to do with failure. Failing isn't easy for me to do. I really struggle with that. I remember as a kid, I'm one of those kids that if I can't win, I don't want to play. And so there's a lot of times that I just kind of disengage from things if I didn't think I had a shot at winning. You know, there's even random games that I don't enjoy playing because I can't control that enough to win. And so playing rock, scissors, paper, go fish, some of those games that's just purely games of chance aren't that much fun for me. And I just realized that as character, it's one of those things that I struggle with. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think a lot of us by nature kind of push ourselves. We're competitive. If I start looking at my phone, one of the things that I have on there is that I've got my Nike system. I've used it for years now. I remember putting a little Nike pod in my shoe to keep track of how far I was running. Now I use the Nike Plus GPS, but I've got years and years of runs that I've tracked in there. And so I tend to be competitive, not necessarily against other people, but I like to compete against myself. And it's been hard as I've gotten into my mid-30s. Well, no, 43, that's not quite mid-30s yet. But seeing that I'm getting slower and slower. It was a heartbreaking moment when I passed an average of over 8 minutes per mile. It was heartbreaking, and now I'm creeping up to about 8:08 per mile, and so that's kind of heartbreaking. But at the same time, you know, I guess I'm still running, and that's a good thing. But it's hard, you know, it's hard to face the reality that we want to do something, we try to do something, and still can't do it. And so as parents, you know, that failure and that brushing up against failure can be really hard. One of the things, as I've met a lot of parents out there, is that us as parents feel a lot of weight. Whether we're getting it from church, whether we're getting it from other people around us, this pressure to be great parents, to have kids that are doing well, to really be making an impact on our kids and in our community and in our lives, and this pressure keeps building. One of the culprits, I think, is that even before people have kids, a lot of us pick up those books that are what to expect when you're expecting. The yellow books, they don't look that dangerous. But the reality is that these things, these books, these concepts leave a lot of parents feeling overwhelmed. There's some of you that might even be a little scared of being on this podcast because you're so used to these parent experts heaping something else on you that makes you feel bad. And so that's definitely not my goal, because I realize that some of these things that we start reading, some of these thoughts that are presented to us, leave us feeling responsible for things that we can't be responsible for. As a parent, one of the realities that we face is that our kids are free moral agents. That means that we can't control everything about them. We can do everything we can to influence them, but at the same time, we can't change certain aspects of them. They're free moral agents. They'll make decisions that we might not like, and we can't do anything about it. The other reality is, that I face constantly is Project Patch works with kids that are making really poor decisions, life-altering negative decisions. And one of the constraints we have to realize is that as Project Patch, we can't change people. And that's hard to face. You know, the reality is that we'd love to be able to change kids, put them on a productive direction. And what we can do is that we can influence, we can impact, we can model, we can do all sorts of good things, and we can nurture change. But change itself is something that the kids have to do themselves. So the danger that comes with these books, What to Expect When You're Expecting, is that it really leaves parents with this overwhelming responsibility for things that they can't be responsible for. It's almost that sense that if I eat the wrong things, if I don't listen to the right music while the baby's in my tummy, if I don't exercise enough, sleep enough, if I don't have the right vitamins, if I don't think the right positive thoughts, my kid is going to be a murderer or something. Equally, probably untrue, but we can kind of go there in our brains to the point that we really think that we're responsible for everything. You know, what cracked me up as I was doing a little research before this, it looks like there's about 15 books that they've put out in the What to Expect When You're Expecting. And the one that I haven't read, but it's kind of a funny title, is What to Expect Before You're Expecting. not sure what that's about. Encourage you, if you want to write on the blog post that accompanies this podcast, I'd love to hear your thoughts if you've read that book and found it helpful. You know, the main thing that I've been working on is to shift my focus from unproductive thoughts to productive thoughts when it comes to failure. You know, the reality is that when we face failure, when we have the fear of failure, it tends to trap us. I found in my own life that if I have a fear of failure, I disengage. There's things that I don't try because I think that I might fail. There's kind of a safe place that I go to. The other thing is instead of fully engaging, sometimes I engage just at a certain level, so I have excuses for why I didn't get it done. And so it's a trap. One of the interesting things I went through about a year ago, I was at the Young Life camp speaking for a youth event there. It's the Washington Family Ranch there in the middle of Oregon. And there they have this thing called a pamper pole. And so imagine a telephone pole with ways that you can climb up the thing. And on top of it is a small platform, just about the size of feet. And so not a big platform up there. One of the hardest things is climbing up and then actually getting to the point that you're standing on top of that platform. And when you're up there, you do have a harness. You have a rope tied to your back. You can't see it. It's behind you. You're standing on that platform and it's wobbly. You're way above the ground. You can see down there. There's people down there. They're cheering you on. But what you have to do is you jump from that platform and stretch out as high as you can to try to grab a trapeze. And it's pretty amazing to hop up there, to look down and to jump with all your might, stretching as hard as you can without being able to see what's going to catch you. Before I went up the thing, I asked the guy that down at the bottom that was kind of hooking me up with the harness, I said, "What's the key?" And he says, "You have to totally commit. You have to jump as hard as you can, as high as you can, and you have to totally commit." Funny thing for me is I got up there, I made the leap, and I totally committed. The thing that I wasn't committed to was actually grabbing on. I didn't think I'd make it, so I ended up grabbing the thing and slipping right off of it. And I missed that opportunity because I had this thing in the back of my mind saying, "Chuck, I don't think you can do it." And because I had those thoughts, I kind of wasn't ready for success, if that even makes sense. And so this fear of failure really does rob us. It traps us. As a parent, it traps us. And a lot of us as parents, there's things that maybe we've seen in our own lives that we'd like to change. But it starts getting painful when we start seeing repeated in our kids' lives. When we see our kids holding back from trying things, maybe they're in a group with other kids and they're not engaging because they have some fear of rejection. Maybe it's time that they try a harder math problem and they don't want to do it because maybe it's getting too hard. Maybe they have a fear of failing the driver's test, and so they don't take the driver's test. They don't try for the AP classes. They don't apply for colleges for fear of being rejected. No matter what it is, we see our kids starting to deal with this same fear and get in some of the same traps that we have. And so we want to change them. But really the key is it really starts with us as parents. You know, I believe every parent can be set free from the fear of failure by practicing and accepting the opportunities that come from losing well. Let me say that again. Every parent can be set free from failure by accepting the opportunities of losing well. You know, one of the first opportunities of losing is insight. You know, I remember being a student association, well, running for a student association office the end of my sophomore year. And for some reason, I thought I could be president, even though I had no experience presidenting before that. And I ran for office, and I lost. You know, to this day, I don't know how bad I lost, but I imagine I lost pretty bad. The other person that won ended up doing a fine job as president. She became a good friend, and I really admired her leadership. You know, what was interesting is that when I started talking to friends about it, I was mopey, I was angry, I was frustrated. I talked to my parents about it. I was in a funk about losing that presidency. And what came out of that conversation was that I had not been running for president. I was running against the person that had won. As I reviewed the things that I had done, my campaign was against the person that had won, not for anything. You know, and it's kind of interesting that that sunk in too late for me to win that presidency. You know, no wonder people didn't vote for me because I wasn't running for anything. I was running against something. And I know as we look at our national landscape, there's a lot of people running against stuff. But the reality is that that's not something that stirs people's hearts. Maybe fear does for a while, but for myself, I discovered that only way for me to win was to run for something, not against something. And that's continued to be something that's really benefited me over life. I realized that as I go out and I try, the key is not necessarily who I beat, although I do like to win against people, but really when I'm doing my race is I want to run my very best race. And so whether I've been doing triathlons or running races or doing things that are kind of a challenge that's not athletic, in all those things I've really focused, you know, to take that same lesson away that I learned as a teen, that each time I lose, there's insight. And one of the most important insights is that you're not running against people. You know, a lot of times we miss out on that lesson of insight just because we get so focused on making ourselves feel better instead of allowing that time to feel that loss and to be disappointed by that loss. We just kind of get into that feel-good mentality and we try to medicate. What I'm saying is that there's a really good opportunity for insight. There's lessons that you'll learn in losing that there's no other ways to learn, and so really take advantage of that. You know, another opportunity that comes with losing is to discover our identity. I had an interesting conversation last year with Jay Triano, who's the assistant coach with Portland Trailblazers. He's also the Canadian national team coach. We were there with friends of his that had played on the same teams, the Canadian national team and professional basketball years before. And these guys were experienced. They'd been out there on the floor. They've been competitive on an international scale, on the NBA scale, and so amazing athletes. And I had a chance to ask a question, which I thought was, I thought I'd get a different response. But I asked the question, and Jay answered it, and they all batted it around. But why do some people lose and go on to play a great next game while others go into a slump? You know, I've seen professional athletes, I've seen regular athletes where they try real hard, they make a mistake, they fail at something, and it's done. You know, they go for a spiral for a while, and where other people go through that same experience and come out sharper. You know, the answer that they gave was all about identity. that our identity lies not in our results, but in the steps that we take. For a player to know that they tried and didn't make it, and that fuels them to try again, you know, their identity is not based in that win or that loss. Their identity is based in something much deeper than that. You know, and losing is one of the things that a lot of people feel that brands them. You know, will I be known as a loser? Will that set me up as that? And one of the key lessons is that, you know, it's not the outside things that identify us. You know, it's not whether we win the promotion. It's not whether we win the contest or the deal or whatever it is. Identity is something that we give ourselves. And as Christians, we find our identity in Christ. You know, and Christ doesn't give us our identity based on our actions. It comes from someplace of who he is and who he's created us to be. And so a really important thing to understand is that through our losses, we also learn that our identity lies outside of those. You know, and for some of us, and you know, I think winning is one of the things that a lot of us take for granted. When you start winning a lot, you start thinking that you start letting those opportunities shape you too, to become something that maybe takes us away from our authentic selves. And so losing is important. And also understanding that when we win, our identity doesn't lie in that either. And so a really key lesson, an opportunity that comes only from losing. You know, the third one I want to share with you is that there's really an opportunity to accept imperfection. Driving home the other day with my girls, we looked out the window and there's this massive rainbow. What was kind of funny was that from our perspective, it looked like the rainbow ended at our house. And so, you know, just joking around, and they're old enough to know you can't chase rainbows, but it was just kind of fun to joke around and drive toward our home and to say, man, I wonder when we're going to catch up with that rainbow. You know, that rainbow's running from us. Even joked around with that idea of maybe if we compliment the rainbow, it won't run so fast. But chasing rainbows is one of those things that we'll never get to the base of the rainbow. You know, chasing imperfection, you know, that's something that, chasing perfection, that's something that we tend to do without realizing that it's never going to get there. It's one of those things that perfection is elusive. As soon as you think you have it, you don't. There's no such thing as perfection on this side of heaven. And so as we keep chasing perfection, it really does lead to a never satisfying chase. The opportunity to accept imperfection. I'm realizing that I can't put together a perfect game. I can't put together a perfect anything because I'm not perfect. And that's okay. You know, for so many of us, perfection, people-pleasing, you know, some of the most destructive things in our lives look good to the outside. You know, for us as kids, maybe we were rewarded for perfectionistic tendencies. When we really tried to be perfect, it was good. But the reality of perfect is that there's probably books that have been written that would change millions of lives, except for the person that wrote it was so perfectionistic that they never completed it. It's 90% done. It would have been powerful, but it wasn't perfect, so they never sent it out. The ideas that have been created by people that would have revolutionized this world, except for they were too embarrassed or too scared to put them out there in front of the world because maybe they weren't perfect. And so what is it like? John Acuff talks about it's better to be 90% and out than 100% and never done. And so that concept of chasing perfection is that we can't attain it. You know, it's one of those things that we keep chasing that's not there. And so the gift of accepting that imperfection is that we realize that it's okay. You know, I'm doing my best. I'm trying my best. I'm making a difference, but I'm not going to be able to reach it out there. And that's all right. You know, the coolest thing is that when we're living in that world of perfection, it isolates us. It puts distance between us and other people. We end up expecting perfection from other people, which is really relationship damaging. But accepting imperfection and the opportunity that comes from losing and accepting that imperfection really puts us back into relationship. not only accepting ourselves in a way that's much more rich, but also allowing other people to see us for who we are and to be able to be in that relationship. So really the three opportunities: opportunity for insight, opportunity for identity, opportunity for imperfection. Three huge opportunities that really help us escape that trap of fear of failure. So as a parent, you know, really our task is to overcome our fear of failure and be set free before we can set our kids free. You know, a lot of times we're trying to change our kids when it's something in ourselves that needs to be addressed first. And so really, for me, my thing that I'm trying to do is really be aware of it. You know, realizing what is it that I'm teaching my kids? What are they observing? How are they seeing me lose? How are they seeing fear of failure affect my life? And am I really doing the types of things that'll really encourage them to accept it? And so as I face my fears, I really need to model it for my kids. Assume that they can't read my mind, and so I need to talk through some of these things, be open about it. I need to teach it. I need to encourage it. But it really does start with me. And so I hope you're encouraged by this, realizing that as a parent, you know, we're human. We struggle. For some of us, fear of failure has really kept us from living a life that's been as rich. And so I hope this has been helpful for you. You know, we've got some really busy weeks coming up. Next week on November 6th, I'll be recording a podcast with Dr. Emerson Egrich. I am a little afraid that I'm going to say his name wrong as we talk face to face. But Egrich, and he's most known for his Love and Respect series for couples, the Love and Respect Conference. Really has done some amazing things. He's really helped my marriage through the stuff that I've heard from him and read from him. So excited about that interview. We're going to specifically focus on his book, Love and Respect for the Family. And so if you've got some questions that you have for Dr. Egrich, really encourage you to leave those on our blog. You can go to today.thefamilyexperience.org and leave your question there on the discussion board. Or you can email me at chagele@projectpatch.org. That's chagele@projectpatch.org. You know, one other thing I want to share with you is that we've got a contest coming up for a free family experience weekend for the entire family. One of our struggles as an organization has been a lot of people don't know that Project Patch does much more than working with at-risk teens. And so we're really needing help getting that word out there. And so we've got a contest. It's asking you to go to our Facebook page, like us on Facebook. That's pretty easy. Now the hard part. Create a 30-second to maybe a minute long commercial. And that commercial is just to tell people about the family experience. If you don't know much about it, just go onto our website. You can get lots of details there. But create a short commercial using your family for the family experience. Upload it to the Facebook page for Project Patch. And then from there, we'll be selecting a winner in December and giving that entire family a weekend at the family experience. And so it's a great opportunity to have some fun as a family and also help us get the word out. You know, for some other things, we've got some speaking appointments coming up. I'll be in McMinnville, Oregon on November 15, presenting the seminar, How Help Technology is Invading My Home. It's a great discussion of productive things that parents can do in a world of technology, and so focused on pornography online, addictive gaming, and some of those things. Also be in Selah, Washington at the Selah Seventh-day Adventist Church on December 13. I'm presenting the same material. And for our friends out in the Treasure Valley in the Boise area, we're partnering with KTSY 89.5. It's a Christian radio station out there doing some great work. We're going to be partnering with them on January 20th and 21st for a weekend's worth of seminars. So really excited about that. You can go into our blog, look at our events calendar. We'll be posting more information there and really keep you posted. You know, and as usual, really appreciate you helping us get the word out there. If you wouldn't mind, we'd really appreciate it if you could go on to iTunes, subscribe, leave your comments, and do the best to get the word out. Share it with your friends. Now go connect with your family. We can help at thefamilyexperience.org.